Let's continue with the outline itself. We have all received equally
the precious faith. Because it's the faith of God, it is precious. It is really very precious. Like we said, we cannot define it. This definition is not a definition of what faith is in its substance itself. Right? But this wonderful faith is the faith of God. God has this power, this authority, and this indescribable characteristic that what he said becomes real. We cannot do that. None of us is able to do that. He just said it, and that's it. And all of his creation listened to him. Even the whole creation, Romans chapter 8 says, is waiting, expecting for the manifestation of the sons of God, because they are subject to corruption because of the fall of men. And so you can really see that the whole creation, because its source is God in chapter 1, right? Let's just quickly go to chapter 1. Because Hebrews covers a lot of things concerning Christ. In verse 2, God in these last days spoke to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. The universe is created in him, in Christ, through him, and unto him. This is unbelievable. It is wonderful, right? It's, and for us, of course, it's believable. Great, it's really wonderful. And then it says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Can we understand that as human beings? I don't think any one of us has the ability to apprehend such a power, because we don't have it, but he has it. So this faith is the faith of God. And in the book of Mark here, we wrote down the Greek phrase, the faith of God. Many years ago, when I realized this, I said, this is really powerful. No wonder when the Lord cursed that fig tree. And the next day, that fig tree just withered in one day. Within one day, the whole fig tree that was so beautiful, full of leaves, withered away. And Peter says, look, Lord, look what happened. And the Lord told him, have the faith of God. It is not just believing God, not just have faith in God, but you have to have the faith of God, meaning to say the Lord did that, and that happened through faith of God. And that's part of God, part of his divine nature, divine being. Right? What he said will happen. His word is the word of power. We all like to say, one man, one word, right? The word of man, right? What we say count. Many times what men say, they don't count. One man, many words. and nothing counts. Sometimes. But hey, nobody kept his word. Even if you kept your word, so what? It's very small things you keep your word. But that's not a word of power. The word of power means whatever he says becomes that what he said. Right? So the word of his power, amen. Wonderful. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, it also says, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Because he is this very faith himself. Yeah. And it's also written in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we all have the same spirit of faith. Meaning to say, after the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit, you're born again of the Holy Spirit, faith came in through the Holy Spirit. Just like what Romans chapter 5 says, the love of God is shed abroad into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, how can you have the love of God? You have a human love, yeah. But the love of God came in through the Holy Spirit. So also this equally precious faith that we have received came from God. Came from God. Right. So Paul says, we all have the same spirit of faith. Don't say, he is stronger because he has the faith, but I'm weak, so I don't have the faith. No, we all have the same spirit of faith, because it's the faith of God given to you. We have received equally precious faith. Then we need to mingle the word of God with faith. This is an important key. That means it depends on you, how you use this faith. You have to activate it. You have to learn not to be passive, but to be active in exercising this faith to mingle it with the word of God. Don't just believe anything what people say, okay? Faith doesn't work just by believing in anything. Faith works if it is spoken by God. Right? Every promise of God, you have to mingle it with faith. Not just some kind of a silly doctrine sometimes, what people say. No. But every word that is spoken out of the mouth of the living God, when he speaks to you, or when you're reading the Bible, and the Spirit just touch you, then you have to learn to mingle that word. Meditate on it. Right. Pray about it. Right. Mingle it through prayer, through the spirit of faith. Right. And you will see the substantiation. So this word is very, very important. Don't just hear. No wonder James says, don't be just a hearer, because if you just hear, and then you go home and do nothing about it, nothing will happen. But if you are active, it's the word of God. It's what God said, what he had spoken. I'm going to do it. I'm going to experience this reality. And this will lead you to the evidence. You will have the substantiation. You will gain the substance of what God says. Now, let's go to the different characters here, different men of faith, just briefly. It says here, I'm in chapter 1, I'm sorry. I better go to, chapter 11. Okay. Okay. The first man mentioned, It's very appropriate, Abel. Right. It's one of the two sons, Abel and Cain. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness from God, right? Because it's God testifying of his gift. Don't think God will not testify. No, God will testify. He will bear witness. Right? You see the substantiating and also the evidence. By faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It's wonderful that the first thing mentioned in this history of faith is the matter of offering a more excellent sacrifice. Whether you like it or not, it's written. Okay, you may say, we don't need to bring any offerings. Okay, that's fine. Right. You're free to believe what you like. But the first incident and the first history of this matter of faith is connected with a more excellent sacrifice, an offering brought by Abel to God, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, because he didn't want to bring anything of himself, because we in our nature, we are fallen, we are unrighteous. Remember what Romans chapter 1 says, there is how many people that are righteous? No, half a person? No, not one. Right? So you cannot bring anything of yourself. This is not righteous because I am not righteous. In our flesh, in ourself, none of us are righteous. But Christ is our righteousness. So you have to bring Christ. Right? So God testified. He obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. Praise the Lord. You have to ask God what we brought to him. Bring the best. This is what is written. By the best of our experience of Christ. The offering here. An animal, right, of the herd. Shedding the blood for the remission. This was what God did with Adam and Eve. And certainly Abel knew from his parents. This is what God did. And God must have shown them. But Cain just brought something of his sweat, tilling the ground, and the ground was cursed. Right? So we need to bring what pleases God. And the only thing that pleases God is Christ. And by faith, Cain believed what God said. It's wonderful. He believed. And he brought what God wanted. Don't just bring anything. No, we bring Christ. That's why we have Leviticus. How many offerings are there in Leviticus? You have burnt offering. You have the meal offering. You have the peace offering with a wave offering and a heave offering, sin offering, trespass offering. Right. So you have these offerings there that we bring to God our Father. Even every time that we receive the forgiveness in the new covenant and your sins and your unrighteousness and iniquities will I remember no more. How is that? Because we have a trespass offering and we have a sin offering. We have the real forgiveness. Don't you appreciate that? Don't justify yourself. Now, we always like to justify ourselves. Maybe some of you are not. I don't know. And if your parents say something, no, I'm not like this and like that, we justify ourselves. But with God, no, we bring such an offering. We are very thankful that Christ shed his precious blood, this wonderful trespass offering. Right? All of these offerings, but that's the last one. The first one is the burnt offering to do the will of the Father. All of these offerings are there. Learn to bring the best of the best to the Father. Right. Yep. And Cain, what happened? Nothing was mentioned about him, just his name. Just his name. But then you have another person there, Enoch. You like to be raptured? To be the first fruits? I think all of us want to, right? Who doesn't want to? Everybody wants to be like Enoch. I'm so glad the second person mentioned there was Enoch. Hey, somebody's name is going to be Enoch, right? Soon, right? Praise the Lord. That's a good name, Enoch. Enoch was taken, meaning to say raptured, so that he did not see death. How many times did you tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want to taste death. I don't want to be raptured. You know, we are living in a time that it's very possible you will not taste death, but will be raptured. This is a wonderful promise. Do you believe that? You want to be like Enoch? This is not a time to die, to pass away. Because we have the possibility of being taken to stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion. Yeah. The Lord did say, right, in Matthew chapter 16, some of you who are standing there with him at that time will not taste death until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And Peter testified he saw his majesty. Right? But of course, at that time, Peter, James, and John, they saw in the Mount of Transfiguration the Lord being transfigured. And they saw his glory. But today, we're going to see something better. We're going to be raptured to stand with him on Mount Zion before the throne of God. Isn't that exciting? I don't know if you think it's exciting or not. Sarah, you think it's exciting? Don't you like to know how it looks like there? It's more exciting than being in some of those national parks. Right? But hey, to be taken up. This is really wonderful. Right? That he did not taste death, did not see death, and was not found anymore on this earth. You know, when the time comes and you'll still be found on this earth, that's not good news. In the last 3.5 years, when a beast appeared and you're found here, you like to be found here?
No.
Absolutely not? No. No, I think none of us want to be here when it happens. So I like that word, and was not found. I don't want to be found here when that time comes. He was not found because God has taken him. That's the only way to go at that particular time. Right? And we believe that this time is coming. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now that is the way to be taken. To have the testimony from God that he was pleased with you. How many times have you done things that really pleased him, obeyed him? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. How is God well pleased with the Lord Jesus because he was God? No. As a man living on this earth, he did everything that pleases God. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He listened to me because I have done everything that pleases him. I like to learn. And that is what it means to walk with God. If you walk with God, he will let you know a lot of things. He will talk to you. It depends on how you react to what he speaks or what he has spoken to you and was speaking to you. Do you agree with him? You say yes, and you do it right away. Walking with God, side by side, following him, following the Lamb wherever he goes. Right. Praise the Lord. He had this testimony from God, that he pleased God. Well, nobody else could give you this testimony except God, right? Who else is going to give you this testimony? Praise the Lord. Lord, we want to be people and sons who please you, who walk with God. For me, Paul said, to live is Christ. That's another way of saying walking with God. And then in verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So that means without your cooperation to substantiate everything that he said. Whatever he said to you, you want to substantiate it. You want to experience it. You want to have the substance and the evidence. This is true. This is wonderful. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. What is he to you? If I ask you today, what is God to you? He is what? It didn't say he is God or what. It just says he is. So I'm going to ask you now, Sophia, what is he to you? Hey, Satan also believes that there is a God. So what's the difference? What is he? Whatever he is in your daily living. You say he is God, but you live as if he's not there. He doesn't see what you're doing, and you don't listen to what he's doing. You don't look to him. You don't have a heart that says, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know him, Paul says. The power, the fellowship of his suffering. Right? I want to know him, as if he didn't know him enough. So what is he to you? How much do you know him? If I ask you this morning and I ask myself, describe to me about your God. Oh, I say, oh God, yeah. The first thing is, he's invisible. Is he invisible? Of course he is. But can you see him? Yes. Not with your physical eyes, but the eyes of your heart, of your understanding being enlightened, that we might know him. No, he is God. There's so much to know about this God in your daily experience. Is he with you? You have the consciousness of his presence. You do all things that are pleasing to him. Are you walking with him? Do you hear him? Right. He is. He is. Depends on you. It depends on you. Right. If you desire to know him, he is so much You cannot express him enough. You cannot know him enough. You must believe that he is. And he is also a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, this is a point that is important, to please God, to seek him diligently, not just to seek him once in a while when you need him. Oh, where are you, oh God? I need you now. And when you're in trouble, oh God, then you call upon God. But if you're not in trouble and you're busy doing so many things and you're busy, wow, with a thousand of things, it seems God is so far away. But to have a desire, Lord, I want to know you. Like Paul in Philippians, I want to know him, to pursue Christ. Right? Press toward the mark. This word diligent is very important, especially at this stage, at the end of this age, we need the diligence. Like what 2 Peter says, to be diligent, to seek God. We are diligent in so many things. I don't know what you're diligent with, but we have to be diligent in seeking God. Right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Then, verse 7, by faith, Noah. Noah is a very important person. Remember, from Abel to Noah, this is a certain section of the Bible. In the very beginning, right, in the age when God has created everything, then Adam fell, and then the development up to Noah. It was a terrible development. At the time of Noah, God has to destroy everything because, wow, everything was so corrupted. And mankind was so corrupted. And mankind is not just mankind anymore. It was mixed with strange being coming down and producing neither men nor angels, fallen angels, something called giants, Nephilim. Today they are called reptilians. Yeah. I don't want to get into it. But don't think it's not going to happen again, because the Lord says the day of his coming will be like the days of Noah. Yeah. What can I say, right? I don't want to say too much. But Noah is a milestone right there. From Adam or Abel here, right, all the way to Noah. It is very, very important. Right? Because even at the time of Enoch, Enoch already knew about the flood. Can you imagine? Right, his son lived up to 696 years old. Now, when Enoch was, what, before 300 years, right, he started to walk with God for 300 years. And at that time, he bore a son. So can you imagine 300 years if you see the 969 years? It was a long time before the Lord comes. I mean, before the flood came. But God already told him. That's why he named his son Methuselah. But What about you if you know, oh, the flood is going to come 969 years later? What are you going to do? Oh, yeah, I have time. I still have time. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I still have plenty of time, right? 969 years. Do you think that's a long time, Sharon? So what are you going to do in this 969 years? Oh, you just take your time, right? Yeah, but, well, you don't have to be so intensified walking with God for 300 years. That's just one third. 300 years, you got 300, another 300. That's just one third of 900 years. You still have time, so you don't have to walk with God every day. Let's do it slowly. He didn't. He didn't waste time. He learned. He started to learn to walk with God because it does take time to learn to walk with God. Because we are fallen. Our nature says, no, don't walk with God. I desire to walk with God today, but then when time comes, I didn't. Because the flesh says, no, no, do this, do this, do that, do that. And do it tomorrow. Do something else. Do what I like. I'll follow him tomorrow. I'll walk with God tomorrow. Lord, I still have time. Well, especially if you know it's 900 years to go. How about that? What would you have done, Sarah? Wait till the last moment. Exactly what you did in school. You wait until the time of examination is coming, then you rush, and then you go 1 week sleepless nights, day and night. No, not like that. You mean to say just 2 days? This is our fallen human nature. We don't redeem the time. And he named his son Methuselah. You know, every day he saw his son. What do you think he thinks about? Or he thought about? Methuselah. Every time he called, Methuselah, come. Oh, the flood is coming. It's not Methuselah coming, it's the flood coming. How about that? We need to be reminded. People think, oh, no, he's not coming. Look, already 2,000 years he didn't come. Well, after 2,000 years, you should believe that he is coming. But Noah then lived at a time when the flood is about to come. And his grandfather would tell him, right, the flood is coming. That's why Methuselah lived so long, because God is also waiting for the right timing. Right. So are we living in a time of Noah today? Are you Noah? It says Noah is a righteous man. Even a perfect man. And he walked with God, just like Enoch. But that was not enough at that time. There's always something more. There's always something more. Evil had increased during the time of Noah. And, hey, Noah's experience of Christ must also increase. Definitely, definitely. And it's at this time that Noah began to build an ark. Praise the Lord. What are we building today? What is our ark today? It's the kingdom of priests. God's building is bigger today. It's not just building an ark, although the ark is a picture of Christ. But at the time of Moses, what was God building then? An ark? He was building a tabernacle, a dwelling place of God. And he's building a nation, a kingdom of priests. And then at the time of Solomon, my, that temple was glorious, big, strong, much bigger than an ark, much more solid than an ark. And then today, the Lord is building the heavenly Jerusalem. Wow, it's a heavenly nature. Not made by man's, and not made with man's hands. And it is not even of this creation. Goodness, then with what? And it's made with gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, with the reality of Christ, with heavenly substance. No wonder all the things built by man, all the so-called churches built by man, will collapse because it's man's hands. And the Lord is going to shake up everything, it says, that only what is unshakable will remain. What are we building today? Today is Noah. We are today's Noah. And this world is so evil nowadays. If you have eyes to see, if you have an understanding to realize what is happening today, you will see we are truly living just like the days of Noah, the Lord says. The days of the Son of Man coming will be like the days of Noah. Yeah. So Noah built an ark, and by this building of the ark, Noah judges the world. Every time the world, people at that time saw the ark, they will ask Noah, what are you doing building this crazy thing? Noah will tell them what? Oh, it's a nice piece of ark. It's a piece of art. No? What is he going to tell him? Why? The flood. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. That is why it is written there that through his building of this ark, he was judging the world. Yeah. Right. Prepared an ark because he was moved with godly fear. Warned of the things not yet seen. Of course, the Lord hasn't come yet. And people who will not believe will laugh at us. Well, you said the Lord is coming, but he's not. Well, just wait. Just you wait. Yeah. Right. He was moved with godly fear. We need the godly fear. Noah was moved with godly fear. Just like his ancestor. Just like Enoch, he was also moved with godly fear, of course. Right. Moved with godly fear. Godly fear, does it sound familiar? Yes. To have the fear of God? No? We have been emphasizing that, even in Malachi, right? And to serve the Lord with reverence and godly fear, to have the fear of God. And in the Psalms it says God doesn't appreciate the strength of the horse or the, what? Legs of men. But those who fear his word, those who fear God. Moved with godly fear. Are you moved with godly fear? Not being nervous, no, but godly fear means you respect God and you know what God's plan is and you're part of it, right? You're working in your company. Don't you have a respect for your company, or you just do anything you like? You have a company fear, right? Are you nervous going to work? No, but you have respect. To have a godly fear means you respect God. And you're serving Him. Move with godly fear. Prepare an ark for the saving of His household, number one. Praise the Lord. Remember, your household, your family, every family, not just you yourself, okay? Take care of your family, of His household. Your family is dear, very dear. None of the children of the saints should be lost. Now, we should pray for them. We should love them, care for them, show them the right way with wisdom and understanding. Pray for them. Look from Enoch all the way to Noah. My, he had a godly offspring there. Right? So, for the salvation of his household, wonderful. But also by which he condemned the world. And not only that, he became heir of the righteousness of the coming kingdom of peace and righteousness. We are going to inherit that. Don't you want to inherit that? If not, tell me what you want to inherit when the Lord comes. Tesla? No, there won't be any more Tesla, okay. What? Apple? What do you want to inherit when the Lord comes? This whole earth full of unrighteousness? No, with a kingdom, and you're going to be a ruler. Right, a co-king, co-ruler with Christ, with our Melchizedek, the king of righteousness and peace. Have you thought of that? Is that your desire to inherit this? Or what do you want to inherit? Tell me. If you have something better to inherit, let me know. I want to know. Jasmine, how about you? You want to inherit a big architectural company? No, you said the biggest architectural company is God's company. Okay? The builder and architect is God Himself. And hey, look at what He has built in this whole universe. There's no greater architect than God. And He's the one who builds all things, is written in Hebrews chapter 5. So you better learn from God, okay? Learn from God how to be a good architect. What is God not? He is everything, including architecture. Yeah, He is everything. We can learn from Him. And He became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Hey, everything is according to His faith. So if you don't believe now and then work for it and then substantiate piece by piece, day by day, and you'll have the evidence, when time comes, will you be an heir of the righteousness to come? So when does this inheritance begin?
Now.
That's good. You got it. Please remind all of us. Okay? It is now. It is today. Because if you don't substantiate piece by piece today, you won't make it. Now is the time to substantiate this wonderful kingdom that is coming by faith, by faith. And you can have the evidence. Praise the Lord. The Lord will testify to you. Yeah, that's right. You're on the right track. You're in the pathway of holiness, the highway of holiness, the way of righteousness. Yeah. The Lord will testify to you. It's good to always ask Him and turn to Him Am I well pleasing to you? What do you say about my condition? Am I better than before? How far am I in the process of transformation? You can really look at yourself and see if there is transformation in your life. You will know. You cannot say, well, I don't know. Well, it'll be sad news if you don't know. Did you know your human growth now? How old are you? Don't you know how old you are? And what you have learned, what you have achieved in your personal life until this age? You are a living testimony of what you have accomplished, right? Or what you have not accomplished. How about spiritually? We should know. Paul told Timothy, let your progress be seen, be known by all. If nobody can see it, not even you yourself can see it, then there is no transformation. But God will testify to you. God will testify. Ask God, how am I doing? How am I doing? How far should I go? How much further in order to make it to be an heir of righteousness? The kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness and peace. Praise the Lord. It starts at home. It starts in your family. It starts in your relationship with one another, in your church life, in your personal, private life. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Right. So Noah didn't build that ark in one day or one week or one year. So preparation does take time. And now is the time to prepare. It didn't start at a time of Enoch, but it started at a time of Noah. So you don't prepare now. I don't know whether you and I can make it or not, but you can be sure you make it because you are building now. You start the building every day, a little bit a day. God doesn't require building overnight. If he asked Noah to build overnight, he would have to send a whole company of angels led by Michael or Gabriel or whatever some of their names are, right, to help you. Maybe you can do it overnight. Noah could build it overnight. But he didn't have that help. Too bad, right? But how about you? Who's going to help you? It's Christ in you. The Holy Spirit is there. If that is not enough, I don't think what would be enough. A legion of angels will not be enough. It depends on how we now substantiate this building work by faith. And then have the evidence and then let God testify to your work. So we finish from Abel all the way to Noah. To prepare for the Lord's coming, okay? Amen? Praise the Lord? Good.